Well, good afternoon, everyone. Pleasant greetings to you. What I'd like to do this afternoon is to take us to the book of 2 Peter, if you'll join me, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we have something here that Peter gives to us that is very important for us to keep in mind, especially as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is very important for all of us. It's part of our calling. It's part of the character building that God is working in each and every one of our lives. If you'll notice, in verse 2, as he calls us, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you." It says, "Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life, as we experience it, and godliness through the knowledge of him," it says, "through the knowledge of him that has called us," notice, "to glory and to virtue." Virtue carries the connotation, again, of character development, to develop the character of God as pictured in the life of Jesus Christ. And verse 4 goes on to say, "whereby are given unto us," something very, very important, "where are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises." Exceedingly great and precious promises. It says that we what? "That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature," a nature that you and I were not born with, but a nature that God is going to create within us through his divine power. It says, and in that process, what does it provide? It provides having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust, meaning inordinate desire. All of us need to grow in certain character traits that are outlined right here in the following verses. And it talks about these different ones, and down in verse 6, it says, "And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience." Temperance leads to patience, and what does it say? Patience to godliness. Patience. Patience is a word that is used in the Scripture, but also carries a different connotation from another word that also is utilized. It's called perseverance. Perseverance. As you look in the Scripture, you'll find that when this word perseverance comes up, it is many times rendered in the King James as patience. In the New King James, if you have one of those, it's listed as patience. In the RSV, it is utilizes the word steadfastness. All of these basically are the same word, patience. And what does it mean to you when you hear that word patience? Patience or perseverance. The Scripture has some interesting things to say about it, because the definition of perseverance is very important. This is something we have to add to our development, our growth as God-fearing men and women. The Scripture emphasizes this very important. And the Greek word that is used for perseverance or patience is called hupomone. It's spelled H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E, hupomone. It literally means, and is translated, "an abiding under." Take note of that, an abiding under. Strong's defines the word as a cheerful or hopeful endurance. And the Bible talks about enduring to the end. And it is in the context of a hopeful or cheerful endurance. It implies the following: that those who understand this character virtue being added to their life, it implies dealing with suffering, enduring, or waiting with a determination of one's will. Now, it is interesting that Philippians talks about this in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, where it says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling," which means exercise your Christian duty on a daily basis. And it says, "But know that it is God who works in and through you to execute his will and good pleasure." This is something that God is doing in all of our lives, and it's a process that requires perseverance and, another way of phrasing it, patience. You ever notice how you have to wait all the time wherever you go, whatever you do? Hurry up, let's go here, let's go there. And what do? Wait. That's what they say they hate about the military. Guys, you know, they say, all right, soldiers, hop to, let's go. Where are we going? We'll have to wait for orders. Then you sit there and you wait, you know, and you can only wait so long. Something gets penned up. That's like D-Day invasion. They were waiting and waiting for the orders. Do we go? We're all revved up to hit the beaches. Now you say we got to wait another day because of the storm. How long do we have to wait? Waiting is something that it can grind on you if it's not understood properly. And we all have to wait. It seems like it's built into creation. God has a purpose for this. Now, what we want to understand is there's more to this word than just the passive. There is a passive form of this, but there is an active form that you and I need to understand. The passive form is this. It can be likened to a ship. A ship that suddenly is where? In waters that become hostile or storm-driven. Now, what does a ship do when it faces something of that nature and it's in a passive state? Well, it drops anchor. You anchor yourself down. Now, you remember how Christ used the parable of the so-called building your house on a rock? You have to be anchored to that rock and not to the sandy foundation, remember? And what did he say was going to come? You remember? The storms of life. The winds came, and the rains came, and they beat upon the house. So it's very important to have a good foundation. Now, in the passive state of this word, being patient, it merely means anchor yourself down when things of this nature come. But there's a more active form of this word that we need to understand, because that's what you and I are called to. There are times we have to just anchor down. Put the anchor down and stand our ground. But God did not call us just to stand forever. He told us to move forward. And we have to move forward in a positive way. So what happens when a ship is sailing and the storms come? What transpires? The ship has to do what? It has to persevere. It has to patiently work its way through those turbulent waters. If you've ever seen some of the movies of some of the merchant marine in World War II, where they had to go up to the Russian waters of Murmansk and drop lend-lease supplies to the Soviet Union during the war, you will see that those waters were so turbulent, the ships would do this. They'd come way out of the water, and then all of a sudden they drop, and you could hear the screws coming out of the water. But they had to persevere to drop those goods and services to the people at the time. Well, in the same way, when we go through situations, when we are under attack by the waves and the troubles and the problems of life, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to persevere, but we are also supposed to do something. We are supposed to be patient and doing what? Bearing up under trials. And that's the name of the sermon. Bearing up under trials. Because, you see, it's not a matter of just enduring trials. It's a matter of bearing up underneath those trials and persevering to the goal that you and I have set before us. And what is that goal? You all know it. Matthew 6:33. Seek you first the kingdom of God. The big picture. Now, the enemy is always going to try to derail us from seeing that big picture. That's where we go. But we have to get to that place through what? Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom of God. We have these ups and these downs, these problems and difficulties. And everyone has a different variety of these things. And why does it go on like that? To test one's faith. One's ability to put trust and confidence in the God we serve who called us. And do we really trust his wisdom and the wisdom of Jesus Christ as outlined in scriptures that all things will work for good to those that are called by God according to his purpose? Do we really believe that? That becomes the acid test. That's how we bear up with the Spirit of God under these trials. Otherwise, you're just, quote, enduring trials. And if you're just enduring trials, well, they can overwhelm you. They can overwhelm you. It's very important, as Adam Clark points out in his commentary. He says, bearing all trials and difficulties with an even mind. An even mind. That's interesting, because the Scripture tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. An even mind that is able to look at things on an even basis and not just be thrown up and down and up and down. Very important. He goes on to say, and what it ends up doing, enduring in all and persevering through all. We have to see it to the end. In the Great War of World War II, the United States had to persevere against the storms of that great war and that conflagration. If we had not persevered to the end, if we didn't listen to those words that were said by men like Winston Churchill trying to inspire the British people, and he says, we must never give up, never give up, never, never, never. And he rallied those people. He had to drive those words into their head. Why? Because every day here come airplanes over here bombing your cities to pieces. You're running down into the subways trying to, in the tube as they call it over there, and you're trying to stay alive. It's frightening. You know, what's going to happen here? You have to keep your eye on the overall goal. The goal was to do what? We must defeat the Nazi element. And that's what the Brits had to keep in mind. We had to keep that in mind. We had the Pacific War to fight. And it wasn't always hunky-dory. It wasn't always good times. It was bad times. Bad times. Some of those trials were horrific. And you go back and you study. And just like the Bible teaches us in Romans 15, verse 4, all things are written in the Bible for our learning. We go back and study history and learn from these events that happened, and it is absolutely awesome and breathtaking to realize how close we came, and history could have been a different ballgame if it had not been by the grace of God. And God's Word comes into play in all of these areas. Now let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 12, if you will. Hebrews chapter 12. And here, we have some very important instruction given regarding the big picture. In Hebrews chapter 12, it goes on from chapter 11, which is the famous faith chapter. But now notice verse 1 of chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, all these men and women who went before us, who lived their lives before us, and they without us cannot be made perfect. That's what it says in that last verse, verse 40. It's a very, very special opportunity that we have been given. Then it goes on, it says, let us therefore set aside or lay aside every weight of the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with hupo nome, patience, perseverance. This is what is required in order to run the race that is set before us. But as you run, where do you keep your focus? What do you keep in mind? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, it all revolves around strengthening faith. Because without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. You've got to know that He is, and you've got to know that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And that's why we're here today. We're here to honor that great God because we are seeking Him. We know that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And we want to place our faith and confidence in Him so that we can receive those precious promises that are outlined in His Word. Yes, He is the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy, keeping the overview in His mind, that was set before Him. He didn't get locked in to the trial. He went under, bearing up under those trials he had to face. And it says, enduring the cross, despising the shame, and set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So there he is, and then you and I are told, verse 3, now consider him that endured, that had to bear up under trials. he had trials in his life. He was tested in all areas like we are. And now it says, notice what? Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. It says, and do what? Against himself. So Christ took the hit again and again and again. It says, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So see, the battle is in the mind. That's where the struggle is. And he says, verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And aren't we glad that we haven't had to do that? But that is true. That is true. The struggles we go through cannot even be compared when we look and think about Jesus Christ and what he did for us. But it is necessary for us to develop this patience and this perseverance, this hupo nome. You've got to get the flow of that Greek word, or otherwise it becomes a tongue twister to you. All right, if you join me in Romans 5 and verse 4, notice what Paul said here in Romans 5 and verse 4. Romans 5 and verse 4. He's talking about tribulation in verse 3 and how tribulation, notice, works hupo nome, patience. We have to patiently bear up under these trials. And patience, experience, and experience hope. Verse 5, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So this is part of how God has purposed and works with us in building this important ingredient in our character. Luke 8 and verse 15. If you want to see how patience can really be developed, you just drive the highways and you look and see how people get impatient on the highways driving cars. And that's a good place to remember, in your patience possess you your soul, because if you lose it on the highway, you'll be in an accident. You can't get distracted. You got to really think about what you're doing all the time. All right, in Luke chapter 8 and in verse 15, it talks about the good ground where the seed was sown. It says, and they which with an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keeping it, bring forth fruit. And how is the fruit brought forth? Notice the next word, with hupo nome, with patience. Good fruit is produced in our life when we patiently are bearing up under trials that we face in our own personal lives. And everybody can fill in their own blank as far as the trials you go through. Trials vary from person to person, but all of it is testing faith in the character of the individual, whether it be a man or whether it be a woman. If we take a look also at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. Let's take a quick look at that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4. He talks about the Thessalonians here, and he mentions how they had to persevere to endure certain trials that they were facing, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God, notice, for your hupo nome, patience, or perseverance, depending on a different translation, and faith in all of your perceptions and your tribulations that you endure. So there you have a very important aspect of problems and difficulties that they faced. They had to get through them. In the book of James, let's go to James chapter 5 and verse 11. Now, this is one that we probably don't take note of if we're not careful, but we should. It says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job." Huponome, again. How did Job get through that terrible crisis that you find recorded in the book of Job? It was because, again, he had to patiently wait on God. And it is referred to as the patience of Job. "And you have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender and of tender mercy." The development of perseverance that produces this patience that we all need requires certain elements to come to play. The right elements begin with this, the Word of God, Romans 15 and verse 4 that I mentioned to you earlier. "All things are written for our learning, to help us understand how, as men and women, how do we proceed? How do we grow in this area so that we are bearing up under trials that we go through?" We don't want to just be enduring trials. Enduring trials is not the answer. If you're just enduring trials, or like some people say, do you enjoy life or are you just enduring it? The enduring makes it sound like, oh, ghastly, you know, have to endure this. No, life is a joyous thing that God gave, but it is filled with many trials, and we have to learn through the character process of bearing up under those trials. That's the key that is given to us in Scripture. Well, if we take a look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 7, we find something very, very wonderfully explained to us. Romans 2 and verse 7. "We must have patience," or huponome, "in doing good in order to receive the wonderful gift of eternal life." We have to be dedicated to doing good in this area. Notice in verse 7 of Romans 2. "To them," meaning to anyone who follows this course of action, "to them who by patient continuance in well-doing." That's our mantra, if you want to say it, or our motto, whatever you want to use. We want to be patiently doing the right thing, doing well. And notice, "who seek," what are we seeking for? Notice the life's great purpose, for glory, for honor, and immortality, eternal life. Wow. No wonder the promises have great and exceedingly great and precious rewards behind them. Prayer, obviously, is another component of how we develop the type of patience needed. We have to prayerfully address and ask God for help. James 1 and verse 3. Go back to the book of James, if you will. Join me there, and let's see what James 1 and verse 3 have to say. The Scriptures are very much designed to take us from one to another, to add together the equation we need to understand. Now, in James chapter 1, he's writing this to the brethren scattered, and in verse 2 he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials." And that goes contrary to our nature. I don't think anybody looks forward to saying, "Oh boy, I woke up this morning, I've got all these problems and difficulties coming at me." No, we would rather have a few, maybe, but not a whole lot. Well, it says, "count it all joy," which tells us that there must be something lacking in our understanding of trials that we don't understand, and that's why we don't count it all joy. Our flesh is speaking out saying, "I don't want trials." You hear people make a statement when they face with a certain difficulty. They just shake their hands. They say, "I can't handle this. I'm out of here. I can't handle this." Well, you've got to handle certain things. You can't just run from it. What would life be if everybody just said, "I can't handle this," and run away? We'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we? You have to face however the cards are dealt. Sometimes they're heavy cards. Sometimes they're good cards. But it says here that when you understand, count it all joy when you fall into different tests or trials. Why? Why, Lord? Why should I do that when everything in my nature wants to run from that? Well, the answer is this, the next verse. Knowing this, This is what we know, that the trying of your faith, oh, so that's why trials are permitted. Faith has got to be tried and tested. Everyone has got to stand to be accountable to God. Do you really believe in what God says? Do you trust in His wisdom that all things will work for good to those called according to His purpose? He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works hupponome. It works patience, perseverance. It helps you to keep pushing forward because we have to move forward to the kingdom of God. We can't stand still. But patience, having her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So God is basically giving us the insight that we can look to Jesus. We have the prophets of old. We have the Word of God. We have prayer. And what else do we have? We've got each other. When you see brothers and sisters in Christ overcoming problems and trials in their own life, it inspires you. It inspires you because if you're kind of getting off track a little bit and kind of feeling sorry for yourself, and then you look over there and see someone, a brother or sister in Christ, persevering, bearing up under a trial and a problem, and you look and you say, wow, that's fantastic. And you reach out and you have compassion. You realize that's got to be a hard, hard thing to deal with. Many brethren have hard things to deal with. Some of you in this room have hard things to deal with. But you persevere. You bear up underneath those trials because you can't afford to go back. Even like Peter said, where can we go? You only have the words of eternal life, dear God. And that's where we stand in our individual lives as well. Looking to each other. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 gives another very important application. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And notice what it says. Let us consider one another. Take stock of one another. The problems, the difficulties that people are going through. Don't dismiss it. Be concerned about what others are going through. And he says, let us consider one another. And it uses the term, King James term uses the term to provoke. And that normally carries a connotation like in your face, provoke your type in your face. But what it's really trying to convey is to provoke from the standpoint to stir up in a positive way. It's not like to try to be negative in any way, but to provoke unto love. You notice the end result? It's a stirring up of love. And for what purpose? It says, and to good works, to do good things for one another, to come to each other's aid when there is a need. Don't let a brother or sister in Christ hang out there in the wind when they're struggling with something. Pray for them. Help them where you can help them. Encourage them. And notice what it says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. You see, there's a reason why we're all here today on God's Sabbath. The Sabbath is a time of refreshment. The Sabbath is a time of healing. To heal our minds, our thoughts, our hearts, our spirits with God's powerful Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say, after the manner of some, we don't want to fall apart like some people. It says, but exhorting one another even the more as you see the day approaching. Well, now, what day is approaching? Well, there's two things. The day of Christ's return, but there's also the day of the Lord, a time of great trial and problems for mankind when punishments and judgments are coming down. And we want to be sure we're on the right side of that equation when it's all said and done. We're to look at life with a positive attitude. James, again, tells us that. We read that in James 1, 2, and 3. Trials in life are for the betterment of God's people, not for the hurt. But if we lose sight of what God is doing in our lives, then all we see is the trial. And if you only see the trial, then you get disheartened very quickly. You want to do what? You want to alleviate yourself from that trial as quick as possible. And so people will do what? They will compromise with their virtue. This is a whole subject of virtue and developing godly character. Once a person compromises with their virtue, and they now just to get the trial off their back, then what does that tell God? This is not a faithful servant. You and I are to be called, chosen, and faithful. That becomes our very important mandate. We have to look to life with God's help in a positive attitude of mind. Always looking to the future. We have to see that big picture. There are sometimes some very trying circumstances that impact a person's life. Prolonged suffering that cannot be explained at times, just like Job was going through something he didn't understand. But it was written for our learning, to help us understand who's behind the scene doing great havoc, Satan the devil. And if he went after Job, who else does he go after? Why is he revealed as a lion seeking whom he may devour? Are we the meat on his plate that he's going after? We've got to make sure we don't get into that situation. Sometimes illness, a prolonged illness, can really wreak havoc and really test a person's faith. Grief, suffering, disappointment, loss of any type, it can cause one, if one is not careful, to give up and quit. I can think right now of individuals that I have known. At one time, I would have said, they're red hot to go God's way. One of them now says he is. I don't know if he really believes it, but he says he's an atheist. I feel sorry for him. It's amazing how atheists seem to think everything happened by accident when everything else confirms there's a creator. And that creator rules supreme, and we know that based on the creation he has revealed to us. No, to truly demonstrate perseverance and patience, we have to keep doing what? Continue in well-doing, as we read in Romans 2. We just have to keep going the course. And no matter, just like United right now, maybe having its little ups and downs, but it's got to keep going forward. We can't just say, oh, they've got a problem. I guess everything is going to go crazy. Well, not if we look to God. If we look to human beings, things go crazy. If we look to God Almighty, God will work things out in spite of ourselves in ways we could never imagine. He's got all the tools at his disposal. And he can do things that you and I, just as the scripture says, with God, all things are possible. Do we really believe that? Hopefully we're not guilty of just having a form and ceremony of religion. Hopefully the Sabbath means something to you with a great personal conviction, because it's going to mean your future in the years ahead. You can see what's happening in Europe. You can see what's happening in the United States. You can see how we are just like Hosea talks about, like a cake unturned. Strangers are devouring our strength and we don't even know it. We're being told everything is great when everything is terrible out there. People are hurting. Oh yeah, a few people are getting jobs. Where are those jobs? Not where the average person is. Try and find a job, out of work, suffering and hurting. We've never seen days like this before. But the scripture told us these things would come, and that we would have to do what? That we would have to be strong, that we would have to be courageous, and in our patience, possess our soul when we see everything else around us in this world going crazy. But with God, I love, as one of the ministers mentioned at our recent conference of elders, very says it all in a nutshell. He looked over and he said, you know, there are people that say this and there are people that say that. Did anybody tell God about it? Did anybody tell God? He already knew. He knew exactly where every individual was, where they were going, what they were doing. He knows every one of us. He knows the hairs on our head, the lack of hair on our head. He knows our comings and goings. He knows everything about us. And that's what you must never take your eyes off, because that's what gives you the ability to bear up under trials. Bearing up under trials can only be done with the help of God and His Spirit and keeping our minds in the right direction. Self-control, daily exercise, perseverance, it all comes together and can be summarized in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. It says, "But you, O man, or O woman of God," it says, "flee these things," the things he's been mentioning prior to this, "and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love," and notice, "hupomnome," patience, meekness. "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, wherein you have already been called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses." That's what it's all about, dear brethren. We're called and being tested to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Adding to that character of Jesus Christ was the ability to bear up under trials. And if we are abiding in Christ, then we are doing what? We're bearing up under trials, which is testing our faith on a day-to-day basis. Every day is a test. Do we really trust in the wisdom of Almighty God, who has given us His Word, told us how it would transpire, how it would come to conclusion, and do we truly trust the words that flowed from the lips of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who said, "In me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." We in the United Church of God are choosing to go the way of peace, outlined by the Prince of Peace, as we walk with Him and He leads the way to the kingdom of God, as all of us must bear up under the trials of everyday life.